Hello, good morning, good evening, good night, buenos noches, tacos and all that.
All that.
Welcome to Z Views Podcast, and I am joined with my two lifelong friends that I've known for too long now, actually.
Too long.
Yeah, you want to say your names, guys? You'll be nice, you know.
Hi, I'm Megan.
I'm RJ.
And I am the one and only Ty Mitchell. So we are coming to from mixing up my words already. We're coming from Naples, Florida. I even know how it is over there, but it seems nice.
A little bit cold.
It seems nice. But yeah, so we started this podcast because we are basically broke. I don't know. I know RJ be living nice these days, you know. But I am broke.
Okay.
I think Megan is broke. I don't know. But I'm the brokest. Make sure you subscribe, like on everything. Instagram, TikTok. What else?
YouTube, all that. Apple Music, Spotify, all that.
Yes. Yes. Tell your family, tell your friends, tell your neighbor, tell your dog. Yeah. All right. So before we get started on today's episode, we have a juicy one too. Some people here may need it, but let's run some ads. All right.
This episode is brought to you by 124 Nut Out Sports Agency. Welcome to the next level.
All right, Megan. Long time no see. How was your break?
It was good. It was very sweet.
Where did you go?
I just went to visit some family.
Are you?
For me, I had a bunch of food, Thanksgiving food and all that. My mom cooked up some good stuff too. We also went out to eat too, so it was good.
What she make?
Yeah, I wonder.
Oh, all that, bro. All the good stuff. I'm hefty right now. I'm trying to lose that weight, but I'm feeling hefty. It was good.
I was playing in the snow. That's what I was doing. Take that as you want, but I was just playing in the snow. Okay. Anyway, what are we talking about today, Miss Megan?
We are going to be talking about whether or not relationships are dead in the digital age.
They're pretty dead right now, honestly. They're so overrated.
For you.
Especially in this economy.
For you.
For me? Listen, it's not dead. I always have a thing ready right there, you know. So, you know me, you know, I always have my thing sorted. I don't know about y'all, but I know Megan is in a loving relationship. Yes. All right.
Yeah, and to help us talk about this is a special guest. Is Tanisha Wood, who is the founder and lead matchmaker of The Brooms List, an exclusive matchmaking firm dedicated to helping accepted Black professionals find aligned, lasting love. Known for her intuitive insight, emotional intelligence, and refined high-touch vetting process, Tanisha delivers a luxury matchmaking experience grounded in care, discernment, and intention. Before launching The Brooms List, Tanisha spent more than a decade in corporate sales leadership, mastering the art of communication, negotiation, and understanding what truly brings people together. Her thoughtful psychology informed approach to dating has earned her features in The New York Times, Good Morning America, The Today Show, and King's Court, establishing her as a trusted voice on modern relationships.
So, damn.
Guest this week.
That's a great resume.
That's a cool job, too.
And goddamn. But yes. Our guest for this week is Miss Tanisha Wood.
Woo! Wait.
What?
Let me introduce her because that's my job.
Okay, go.
Drum roll, please. Miss Tanisha Wood.
That's a really cool profession she got, matchmaking.
Right?
I wish I could do that. I mean, I kind of did that like amateur though.
Low key, yeah.
Put my boy on.
Helping your bros out, yeah.
Hello.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, good. How are you?
Life is good.
I am doing great.
Wait, before we get into the real questions, I have a question for you. How come you chose this profession? Like, what got you into this?
Kind of organically. You know, when you're trying to solve your own problem and you realize it's also everybody else's problem? So that was kind of the path for me. So I used to work in corporate sales. And because of that, I moved around quite a bit. So I lived in San Francisco and in New York and in Dallas and Puerto Rico and Minneapolis. And through all these moves, I would kind of keep meeting women just like me where I'm like, you seem great, but you're single and you can't meet anybody. And so, I was not at all shy about using dating apps. Like when they first came out, like way, way back in the day. So like I'm talking like 2008 time frame. When online dating was not like, it wasn't popular. It wasn't something that like people did. It was sort of like they would kind of lie about it and it would be like in the shadows where it's like, well, if anybody asks, let's just say we met at a bar, you know, versus like on an app or online. And by the way, when I'm saying on an app, I mean, I had to like go to my computer and log into OkCupid or Match.com. So I don't even mean an app. So I met a lot of guys that way. And, you know, most of them, it was like, they're cool, but it wasn't like my forever. But I would keep in touch because I had moved to a new city and didn't know many people. And then as I would meet new girlfriends or girls would be like, hey, like, you know, I'm single. Do you know anybody? Like, actually, I went out with this guy the other day, not for me, but I think you might really like him. And so this kind of kept on and friends of friends would ask. And then, you know, I literally had like a tracker where I would like write down qualities about the men that I thought were great or not so great. And then when I moved to New York and kind of the same thing continued where I was like, now there were actual apps at that point. So now we're talking like 2014 timeframe. And then, you know, once friends of friends were like asking, I was like, you know, I really like doing this. I should like get paid for this. So at that point I started helping people with their dating apps and their dating profiles. And then in 2015, I started a podcast about dating called Dating Relationships and Love, where people would like write in for advice and things like that. And then from there, left my corporate job, started coaching. And then in 2020, when it was the pandemic, like a lot of my coaching clients were like, I've done all the work. I'm just like ready to meet the person. And in the back of my mind, I'd always sort of had the idea for the broom list. And so it was like the perfect time to start. And I really enjoy this because I feel like who you end up with is like the most important decision you'll ever make. And that determines so many other things in your life. So I really enjoy being a part of that story for people.
That's cool. You're like the ultimate wingman or wingwoman.
So,
yeah, I wish my homegirl was like that.
Yeah.
Okay, so first question I have for you. Are you ready?
Absolutely.
In 2025, what feels uniquely hard about dating as Gen Z that older generations honestly do not understand at all?
I think there's so much choice. And on the surface, choice seems like a good thing, right? You want to have multiple things to choose from in any area of your life. But I think when it comes to dating, we're often met with the paradox of choice, which is really having too many choices. So if I present you with an apple and an orange, you might say, oh, I've had an apple before. I don't really like that. Let me try the orange. And you're going to feel satisfied with that choice because you already had one and now you're trying something new. But if I say, here's a whole basket of 100 fruits from around the world.
Yeah.
And you were like, okay, I chose the orange, but maybe I should have chose the guava. You know, like maybe I should have chose the watermelon. And you're always thinking that maybe your choice wasn't good enough. And I think that's one of the biggest problems in dating right now is that there's so much choice that we're never really settled on our choice because we feel like, well, what if it's the wrong choice? What if there's something actually better out there? Whereas like in prior generations, we just didn't have that sort of access because we pretty much had access to who was around or who you knew or who your friends knew. But now it's just like, I'm literally choosing from the world. Like I can set a dating app parameter for the entire world. Like that's mind blowing and really tough.
Would you say that's like the main issue or that you've seen?
In terms of like dating today, I would say it's one of them. Social media is also something that I think creates a problem for people. Whereas, you know, you used to be able to get to know people over time very organically and through your own experiences with them. But now you're sort of getting their whole life in just, you know, one swipe. And it's like, you see their Instagram and their TikTok, what they were doing for their birthday 5 years ago with their ex. And you start to form all these judgments about them that aren't necessarily your own experiences with them. And I think like that's tough, like to be in front of somebody and know that they've potentially seen pieces of your life that maybe you weren't proud of, maybe you didn't enjoy, but now it's just sort of like everything is out there all the time.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense, actually.
I have one more question. What is your success rate on matchmaking?
Yeah, my success rate is 86%.
Whoa.
You have the actual stuff.
What?
You I don't remember the actual stats.
Jeez.
That's more than Steph Curry's field goal.
Yeah. Dude. I mean, if you... I try to hit those three-pointers as well. but yeah, I mean, it's at the end of the day, it's really if you're working with people that are open and understand their own flaws and understand what they bring to the table, like it makes it a lot easier. So I'm very particular about who I work with because of that.
Yeah, so she's good at what she does.
86%. What?
That's insane, bro. The second one is Megan, I think.
Yeah. So do you think that dating apps are actually helping Gen Z find relationships, or are they like training us to see people as like disposable options and like a list that you just swipe on?
Yeah. I mean, I think it depends on how the user decides to use the app, right? So if you treat it like these are real people with real lives that are looking for real connection, and you treat every interaction in that way, I think that there's a common respect, and I think that you can get a lot more out of the app. However, how a lot of people do treat it is like they're playing a game. They're playing Candy Crush. They're swiping. Somebody messages them. They never respond back, you know. But I think like there should really be a common courtesy where we treat this like a real interaction, despite the fact that we've never met, despite the fact that you're behind a screen. Like, if we can treat this like I am interacting with a real human being, and would I do that to somebody right in front of me? Like, if you walked right by me and you said, "Hey, Tanisha, how are you?" Like, I wouldn't just walk by you. That would be so rude and so mean for absolutely no reason. Now, I might say something like, "Hey, I'm sorry. I'm like running to a meeting. It's just not a good time, but like, I hope you're doing well." Right? Like, I would give you some sort of human interaction because that's what you gave to me. And I wish that we would treat apps more like that versus like, I don't like that person. I went and I saw their Instagram and I didn't like what I saw. I'm just not going to respond to them. I think like you would be amazed at how well people take it when you actually just tell them the truth. Hey, thank you so much for reaching out. You know, I took a look at your profile and I'm not sure that we'd be a good fit, but like, good luck in your search. Simple. They will leave you alone. You have been respectful. If you ever see that person out in the streets or out in the wild, like they will know that you are a person that gives respect and therefore deserves it.
Mm-hmm. That's a much better.
You don't want a bad name in the streets.
Yeah. That's a much better response than just ghosting someone.
Yes. I find more girls to do that and not ghost people.
Are you finding that women are just not, what are they doing?
They just look, don't say anything. I walk past you like you're a piece of chicken.
No good evening, nothing. Just
no.
For me, I got a question too. What are like the major green, like the, what are the three major green flags when it comes to like dating or when you're matchmaking with between two people?
Dating or like specifically around like matchmaking or?
What do you think you have the most experience answering?
I guess kind of all of it, but I'll kind of run through. It's totally fine. So I think in terms of just dating, I think green flags are people who genuinely know themselves. I think when you're around people or you find people that'll say things like, you know, I'm just like, whatever, I'm down for whatever, like it's whatever. Like that doesn't mean that is a laid back, easygoing person. That means that is a person who doesn't know themselves. And when somebody comes into a relationship or in a dating situation and they don't know themselves, they're going to have a really hard time getting to know you and therefore like adjusting to you and communicating with you, because they'll just kind of like go with the wind. Like you'll never really get to know who they are because they don't know themselves. You know, I think a green flag is somebody where you can genuinely tell that they know themselves. They are confident in who they are. They like themselves. Like, that makes for a good base in any relationship when somebody comes into it as a whole and full person. So, you know, whether I'm matchmaking or just giving advice to clients, like that is something I always look for when I accept a new client is like, does this person really understand themselves? Like, do they have like a base to like who they are? Because otherwise, if they don't, Like, what am I going to, who am I going to match them with? What am I looking for? I don't know who they are. If they don't know who they are, I don't know who they are, and I can't help them. So just somebody who has the confidence in themselves and knows exactly who they are. I would say that's like the biggest
major thing, just being real.
Another one I would say is like, say that again, I'm sorry.
No, the major thing is just being real.
Yeah, like when they can say like genuinely who they are, you know, like if you ask somebody out on a date and they say, I don't really like Mexican food. Like, can we suggest somewhere else, or can we go somewhere else? Like, that to me is a good sign that somebody's not just going to like grin and bear it. Like, they're confident in their decision. Another green flag I would say is somebody who is open, right? So they're open to new experiences. They're open to trying new things. Like, they're not so rigid in their stances. Like, even though they know who they are, like, even though they know, like, I don't like Mexican food, maybe they'll be like, oh, well, I'll try Thai food. Like, maybe I'll like that. I don't know. But they still have an openness to experiences. And the reason that that piece is so important is because I think as you get into a relationship and things become more serious, like, you're not always going to see the other person's point of view. You're not always going to agree, but you have to have the openness and the willingness to do that. And that really little signs of that are just like, will they try something new? Do they trust me enough to like take my advice or my suggestion? And so that's a really big green flag. It's just this like level of openness. Another one I would say is just their external relationships outside of the relationship. So what are their relationships like with their friends and their family? How are they treating those people? What are their interactions like there? You know, if none of those things are good, their relationship with you is not going to be good either. So you're not going to be the exception.
So, RJ, you hear that? Don't be a yes man.
Okay, bro.
All right, don't be no yes man.
Got you.
All right. I have another question. What are some red flags Gen Zs tend to brush off on the first date that might bite them on in the future with that same person?
Yeah. I think that, like, there's this, how do I say this? There's a division between what's happening in real life and what's happening, like, online and on social media. And sometimes I feel like people sort of live their lives with what's like popular on social media, and like that's not always real life. But like, if you see somebody who is so concerned with everything that's happening online and what their followers are thinking and what their followers are saying, again, that goes back to my first point of just lack of confidence. Like, that's a red flag to me if somebody is so concerned about the people that they don't even know, like the people that are not even really in their lives, just the people that see them online. So, you know, I think in this generation, that's a really big concern, is just kind of separating real life and the real people in your life versus like what's happening online and with people, you know, that you don't know. The other thing I always say is just when somebody tells you who they are, believe them. In the early stages of dating, yes, you have to give some grace, but like if you're seeing patterns of just basic things of somebody not keeping their word, for example, hey, I can't talk right now, I'll call you later, and then it's later and you don't get a phone call, like that to me is an early red flag, because like that's, if you can't keep your word on something that small, how do I know that you're going to keep your word on something big? Now, I might let you have a little grace in the beginning because I don't know what's happened, but like that's not going to happen, you know, a second, third, fourth time. Like I'll nip that in the bud. So if there's little things, yes, give grace. Yes, give understanding, but do be watching for patterns of things to come.
That's nice. That makes sense.
Damn, the amount of people who I've said so many times I'll call someone back, but I just forget each time.
Think about it, though. If you, the things that you prioritize and the things that are important to you always happen. Like, always. And so I look at it the same with people and with dating. Like, if somebody is important enough to you and if you care enough, like, you will make sure it happens. And even if you can't make sure it happens, you will make sure that you give them the respect to let them know it's not happening and why it's not happening. But, you know, when again, this goes like back to the just it's just we're treating people as disposable and we're not like valuing and respecting them when we're not doing what we told them we would do. So Ty, please start calling people back when you say you will.
Yeah. Let him know.
All right, OG.
My goodness.
I have a question about situationships.
Ooh, I'm gonna like this one. And I hear this one. RJ would like to hear this one too.
why you keep?
How do you tell if it, the situationship has real potential versus if it's just out of like convenience or boredom for the other person?
Yeah. So there's always little signs that, again, like I said, like somebody doesn't necessarily value you. So if you're wanting to be in a real, official, committed relationship with somebody and it's not moving forward, I kind of have to talk from like two perspectives on this. There's kind of the female's perspective and the male perspective on this, if we're talking like heterosexual relationships. So if you're a woman and you're with a guy and you are in a situationship and you want things to move forward, you want this to be a real relationship, and things are not moving forward, likely what has happened is that you have given this person everything that they would have in a relationship. So why would they change it? Like if I, you know, wasn't showing up to work, wasn't really doing my job with my clients, but they were still paying me, why would I change that? You get what I'm saying? And so I think when people end up in situationships, it's generally because they're giving too much of themselves too soon. And the other person, particularly if we're talking women to men, like the other person hasn't earned those things. And once you get those things for free, why would you change it? Like, what's the benefit? Like, what's the reward for changing the thing? Like, I still get my freedom while I get the benefits of a relationship. So long story short, for situationships, if that's not what you want, cut it. Cut it cold. Be out of it. Say, I'm done. That's like, this is not what I want. I deserve more. I respect myself more than this. Like, I just, this isn't it. Because a man who really wants you isn't going to make you be in a situation. Like, a man who's like, I see the value in this person, he's going to be like, I don't want her to get scooped up by somebody else. So let me hurry up and lock this down because I see how good this is and I see how valuable this is. And if I don't get it, somebody else will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hmm. Okay, let me go next.
I'm very passionate about that.
I got one for you. Like, I know in your profession, you see a lot of this, like a lot of ghosts, like dry texting and ghosting. What's like the best way for like your client to respond to that in a healthy way, to where it's not like affecting them?
Yeah,
in a bad way.
Yeah. So when I was younger, I ghosted somebody, and I ended up feeling so horrible about it. And I learned my lesson and I will never ghost somebody again. But long story short, I went out with this guy. I was like maybe 23 at the time. I went out with this guy. He was cool. There was nothing particularly wrong. I was just like, he's just not my type. He's just not my guy. Right. And he texted me like maybe the next day and was just like, hey, had a good time. Would love to see you again. No, I didn't respond. No response. He then messages me on Facebook and maybe a couple of days after that, he's like, hey, like, I didn't hear back from you. Like, I just wanted to make sure you're okay. No response, right? And now at this point, I'm slightly annoyed, like, maybe you should have gotten the message, right? Well, days after that, maybe like a week or two actually go by and he messages me again and he's like, I just want to make sure you're okay. Like, it's so weird that I never heard back from you. Like, are you okay? Like, he legitimately thought something might have happened to me. And that like made me feel so horrible because here was this guy that had liked me. Again, nothing wrong, did nothing wrong, good guy. And he had such concern for me, a person that he had met one time, to literally, he wasn't even like mad. He was just like, I want to make sure that you're physically okay, like that you are alive and well. And when I finally responded back, I was like embarrassed at that point. And I was like, you know, I'm fine. And then later on, I later invited him on my podcast and apologized to him publicly. And I'd never ghosted somebody after that because I recognized that there was no need for it. And anybody's going to be hurt when they're rejected. So whether you ghost them or whether you tell them straight up, like, it's just going to hurt. Like, nobody likes that. Nobody likes to feel unwanted. But it hurts more when you sort of leave them, like, going through all, like, their mind is just turning, like, what did I do? Was it something I said? Don't put somebody through that. Like, there's no need to put somebody through that. And it also, it feels bad to give somebody that rejection, which is why we avoid it, which is why we're just like, I'm not going to answer the phone. I'm not going to answer the text. But all we're doing is like hurting them more. So just out of like respect for that person, the best way to address it is just like, hey, like, I really enjoyed getting to know you. I really enjoyed our date. Thank you so much for taking the time to plan that. You know, unfortunately, I just don't think we're going to be a good long-term fit. But like, again, wish you luck or like would love to stay in touch as friends or whatever it might be for you. But like, again, people will respect that honesty so much. And I also really believe in karma, and what you put out there will come right back to you. So like, you don't want somebody treating you like that. You don't want to really like somebody and you're sitting around wondering what the heck happened because the date was fine. So I think just out of human respect and for treating people as people and treating like them like you would if they were in front of you, you know, ghosting is not the way, benching is not the way. Like, just be straight up with people, like, all the time. Like, that is how you will get the best result. And I have seen this happen more than once where, like, people come back around, and not necessarily in a romantic context. Like, you never know how people will come back around. Like, you know, maybe a year down the line, you're looking for a job, you see that they work at the company that you're looking at, right? Yeah. Like, you don't want to then have their memory of you be like, oh, that's the guy who like completely ghosted me. Absolutely not. This resume isn't getting past the door, right? Or you want them to have the experience of like, a date and I thought it was cool and like, it didn't really work out, but like, they were a cool, respectful, nice person. So like, let me push this forward. So you never know how people will come back into your life. So like, every interaction, you should treat like they're in front of you and with the utmost respect.
Okay. I have the most important question for the
night. And I have one after that.
Yes.
Do you have anyone for me and my boy, RJ? Because specifically RJ, his well's been dry.
Why are you sticking for me like that, bro?
But do you have anyone for both of us? Do you have to send in like a resume or application?
Well, let me tell you this. Most of the people that I work with are like on a very, they're very marriage minded. And like, that's the path that they're on, is something very serious. Now, I don't know how old you guys are. I'm guessing early 20s.
Yeah. 21.
Like very early.
Yes. That being said, I don't think that this is the time for you guys to necessarily be trying to be like, I'm on the path to marriage right now. I'm trying to meet the one next week and lock it down by next year. Like, I really do feel like this time in your life is to explore who you are, and some of that through dating, right? So when you go out, if something goes right, ask yourself, like, why did I like that person? Like, what did they bring out in me? Like, why did I enjoy them? Why did I enjoy their company? And vice, you know, the opposite direction. If you go out with somebody that you don't like for whatever reason, ask yourself that too. Like, what did that person bring up in me? Like, what, why didn't I like that person? Because like, you're really kind of like, through the reps of dating, like, you're getting a stronger idea of who you are and therefore like who you should be with based on that. And so, you know, man, I loved my 20s. I loved dating in my 20s. Like, I was in New York. I was having the time of my life. So I say that to say, this is the time to like explore and like have the time of your life, and don't worry about like being like, I gotta find my person. You have time. So I can help you just later.
All right.
for my question though, I know you said you're 86% from the field, You have a very good percentage, right, when it comes to success and
your all-time numbers. All-time numbers.
Those are crazy numbers. But for the remainder, the ones that don't work out, what's like the main issue that you see out of like all the cases there?
Yeah, I think those people have generally taken the human side out of dating and finding their person, meaning that they come in with a checklist, and sometimes it is a ridiculous checklist, right? Like the person has to be 6'3". They need to make $500,000. They need to do this. They need to do that. And it's just, they stop thinking about the qualities that actually make a relationship work. And so even if I were to put that exact person in front of them, it generally doesn't work out because they're not looking for like a real person. They're just looking for numbers on a page. And that's just not how we operate as people. Like that can't work. And so I would say the biggest thing is just this checklist and a rigidity around it and not being open to any options outside of that. The other thing I would say is, again, people who sort of maybe slip by and don't come in knowing themselves as well as they should. So they don't know exactly what they're looking for. So therefore, nothing quite feels like the right fit, right? So I would say, like, yeah, those are the two biggest things when it doesn't work out. And some people too are, they're really going after what they think they should. Like, I think should be married with kids, and therefore that's what I'm looking for, but that's not what they really want. And again, going back to like not really knowing themselves, or at least trying to like please other people or what they think things should be versus, you know, looking for somebody that fits who they are, not what they should be.
Nice.
Before we continue, let's take a 2 second break because end of the month is coming up, Christmas coming up. I gotta pay some bills.
Yeah,
I don't, but like, yeah, I'm just broke, so
I'm sorry to hear that.
All right.
This segment is brought to you by 124 Nut Out Cricket Academy, based in Georgia and Florida, USA.
All right.
Okay, so I have a question. Do you predominantly work with men or women more?
Both men and women. More my clients tend to be women. But I think that is really a matter of just women tend to be more active with self-help type things. So like women tend to go to therapy more. Like they tend to know about matchmaking more as even like a service and a process. And so, you know, most of my clients tend to be women. But when I talk to men, they're like, oh, this is like, I need this, when they're at the point when they're ready. So,
all right. So, wait, I have one. Sorry. Since you said most of your clients are women, how do you find the guys for them?
Yeah. So, I primarily work with Black professionals. And so, I attend a lot of like Black professional events that the types of men that they would want to date would be or where they would be. And so, generally, I'll talk to them about matchmaking, talk to them about just, you know, what we do and how it works. And so, yeah, I generally just meet a lot of men out in the wild. And I'm also not shy about, like, if I'm at the grocery store, and man or woman, if I see somebody that I'm like, wow, this person, like, is really cute, let me talk to them, I feel like they'd be a great catch, I'll go up and just be like, hey, are you single? And, like, right there, you know, in the cereal aisle of Whole Foods, start asking their entire dating history and life story.
Just recruiting them?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
There should be more girls in the world like this coming up to me and asking if I'm single.
I would be mortified to do that for myself. Like if I were single and I was in Whole Foods and I saw a man that I was like, wow, he is cute, I would probably do something like just kind of look at him. And then like, you know, I may eventually go give like a, hey, do you know where the da-da-da is or whatever? But like, I'm not that bold outside of work.
Fair enough. Okay.
It's always easier when you're doing it for other people. Like, I can go up to people and be like, hi, this is my friend.
Exactly.
But for me, I won't go up to someone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the main way you're contacted for, like, your, like...
Sorry. People find me sometimes through, like, Instagram, or I've done, like, some TV. Or mainly another way is through other clients. So once I have a client, they'll generally like tell their friends, and so I'll get a lot of recommendations and stuff that way. One thing I was going to touch on that you guys said was that we were just talking about in terms of like approaching people. I have found, you know, for like people like me who might be like, I would never go up to somebody myself. The way there is a way to do it without seeming like, oh my God, I'm so thirsty, or are you single? Like the best way is literally to like ask a question or give a compliment. And so not like a compliment like, oh, I just think you're so beautiful, but like a compliment that's like very specific, like, oh, I really like your earrings, or like, those are cool. Or, you know what I'm saying? Like something like that. Or like, oh, I just noticed your, you know, I just noticed your backpack. Like I'm shopping for new backpacks. Like, do you like that one? And so just anything that like can start a little bit of a conversation until you are fully able to read it, right? So you might, as you talk to that person, you might realize they're married, but like no embarrassment, no harm, no foul. I was just asking about your backpack. Or, you know what I mean? Like you might realize like, okay, they're not like that interested in me. Okay, I was just asking about your earrings. And so, but if they are, they will like hook on to those little things and like keep the conversation moving and you have an in. So there's ways to kind of do it without feeling so overbearing.
Okay. And just for people that are watching that are looking for your services, could you let them know your Instagram and TikTok, stuff like that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I am on everything at Tanisha Wood. So TeneshaWood, or at The Broom List. So on Instagram, The Broom List, and then Tanisha Wood pretty much everywhere else.
Okay, nice. Perfect.
How did you come up with the name The Broom List?
Like, and then also my website is thebroomlist.com.
What's the significance of the name, like The Broom List? Like, what does that mean?
So it comes from the tradition of jumping the broom. So, you know, way back when, like slavery times, like Black people were not allowed to legally marry. And so they would gather and then they would jump the broom to symbolize like them now going over the broom together, starting life together. And so that's where the name comes from.
Okay.
That's really creative.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Very creative.
Was it like, how did you find out about that though? Like the, like that history aspect of the name?
Well, I've always known about the tradition, and I've been to weddings where they've actually done it. Like people still do this today where they'll literally, you know, as they're like after they actually officially married and they're about to walk down the aisle, they will like jump over the broom and then walk back down the aisle. So it's definitely something that's still practiced pretty heavily today, which I appreciate that like tradition is still there and people are still like recalling that history. And even like, I think it's just kind of a nod to the fact that like marriage is a privilege, right? It hasn't always been a right. And it is a privilege to find your person and a privilege to get to walk through life with them. So I really just love the symbolism of that and that we still do it today.
Yeah, that's really cool. Well, we really appreciate you for coming out and spreading all that knowledge. Because honestly, I know some people will need it like Ty Mitchell, you know?
Listen, I am good over here, bro.
Yeah,
I am so good. I don't need no help.
You, bro. No, don't worry.
Well, thank you so much for having me on, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks for coming.
Yep. Have a great night. We learned a lot. We, you and me.
Thank you.
That was very informative.
I know. I'm going to share this episode with all my guy friends because every time they walk up to a girl, oh my God, you're real good looking, you know. You're real bad. What's your Instagram? One time, I'm like, dog, you can't just be coming on like a horny dog.
Like a hound, bro.
like a chihuahua dog, like chill out, you know?
That's Did you guys learn anything significant? Anything stood out to you?
You see, as an expert in the field already, I just reaffirmed me, you know? Pressure, you know? So yeah, what about you, RJ?
For me, she was just saying, be like, just be honest, direct, you know what I mean? Just keep it pushing if it don't work out. So I think those are the main things I took away from that.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing is that just communicate, like just say when you don't like someone, say that you just don't think you're a good match. I think it's just much better than what a lot of people do nowadays. It's just why I never talk to you again. Well,
yeah,
that's one of the biggest things to take from that.
I also, for guys in general, the biggest thing is
usually not complimenting their looks is gonna set you up for failure one time. So like compliment like she said, her earrings or like your shoes, you know? But don't be staring at her toes at their toes too much.
Little details.
The small things. That's why I realized girls like when you notice the small things, swear to God.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like and subscribe, please. Bills are due.
All right. Before we continue, let's touch on that.
This episode is brought to you by Forever Radiant.
Whoa. I like that.
Whoa. All right. Megan, what is the next question for us?
So the first question that we have is, are we overwhelmed by too many dating options, making it harder to commit to just one person? Do you think there's too many apps, too many options?
I'd say so, yeah. I'll be using Hinge, right? And it's like, it's awesome. I'm not going to lie. That app is low-key awesome. You can set a bunch of stuff up, but like low-key, I think it's just too much choice, honestly.
And you be getting matches.
Yeah, bro, it's like I like it more than Tinder. It's like way useful, bro. Like especially in like the area I'm in. It's nice, but like I think it's more about the motivation to take these people out.
Yeah.
Kinda like, do I really wanna spend this and like I barely know this person. And I think that's more on me, so I'll lock
Yeah. It. I honestly think most people like are we overwhelmed? Yeah. I think a lot of people just want to get attention and not really pursue anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I think when you have too many options, you find one and you're like, oh, what if I had the other one? Like, what if? You know, it's just too much, like, extra.
Yeah, it's what, like, Tanisha would just said. Like, it's always the thought in the back of their head, like, oh, I could have a billion other fruits. Instead of just like this fruit, you know. So that was a really good comparison she made.
Yeah, it was a very good comparison.
Mm-hmm. All right, what's your next question, Miss Megan?
The next question is, has instant gratification culture made Gen Z impatient of building globally? I think, Rich, it's just that we expect a lot of things like now for now. Like you want something to happen right away. You know, like I think if a lot of us don't realize it needs time to grow. It needs time to build. You can't expect like a full-on relationship in 7 days.
Okay, this is going to sound terrible, but look at people as stocks.
Okay. No, that's valid. That's valid.
No, yeah, you got to invest. It's not going to be good now, but if you invest in them, and see who they truly are, you're going to be like, whoa, this is a great person. I should marry them.
That's a very finance way of looking at it. I'm not going to lie.
I know.
It's very logical.
Pop's going to be proud of that only, though.
I do think that people are very fast-paced nowadays. We're in a fast-paced generation, but everything's fast-paced, man. Like work, school, social media, life in general. We're like a fast generation, bro. I'm not going to lie.
So yeah, buddy. Like,
I think we can't really help it that that's the way it is now. The only thing you can help is just doing your best to not get caught up in it. So I'm a victim of it myself. I'm not going to lie. So
We know.
That's crazy.
Well, I know.
you can say we and be like, I don't.
Because I know you personally. What do you mean?
My bad. That's on. Yeah, let's move on. Let's move on to the next one.
The next one is, why has ghosting become a normal communication style instead of an unacceptable behavior?
Because people are too damn rude. That's the problem. that's the biggest problem.
What in phone? It gave us something to hide behind.
No, it's just like... Just
you wouldn't be just someone in person because you can't see them. You can do it.
I think three reasons, bro. The first one, when I moved up to America and stuff, right? People are a little bit ruder. I'm not gonna lie. You can
a little bit.
You can be walking, walking in the morning, just chilling, go on a light jog. You walk past a couple, be like, "Good afternoon," and they'll just be like,
"Yeah, they'll look at you. They'll look at you like you have Ebola or something."
Yeah, like you did already, bro. The second thing is like I think ghosts is just the easy way to like not be committed to anything. Or if you like just not feeling them, the moment you're not feeling anything, just
ghosting also like it's like running away from your problems.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to deal with that. See, I be ghosting my homework sometimes.
You gotta lock in. Don't let Auntie hear that.
Bro, she knows. She checked my grades. She likes to check my grades. She's like, Ty, give me a cut.
My parents haven't checked my grades since high school.
Lucky you. I have a very mom, you know, Sergeant.
I'm doing
Sergeant Michelin.
Are you?
Huh?
Are you doing what you're supposed to be doing?
Somewhat.
Somewhat.
Yeah, somewhat. To some extent. I mean, at the end of the day, it's not how I do it. You know, it's the grades, how you be getting. So,
are you getting A's?
Good job, man.
Somewhat.
Why'd she sound so surprised when she said that? She sounded so surprised when you said you'd be getting A's. That is crazy.
Yeah, she thinks I'm stupid. That's the problem.
No, I was like, are you? And he's like, somewhat. I'm like, so that's a no.
Yeah, I mean, A's and B's, so somewhat A's.
Somewhat. Okay.
Yeah, man.
Okay.
I mean, I have glasses for a reason, you know. Makes you look smart.
Not all people with glasses are smart. It's just a good 60%.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in the 60%, dude. God.
Yeah. Well, what's the next one, actually? What's the next?
Wait. I find you rushing this, you know, Pop.
I'm not rushing anything, bro. I'm just like, I like the topics we got. They're interesting.
Yeah, all right. But have you heard anything about the podcast lately from your family, your friends, your dog, your cat, your hamster, anyone?
My hamster? I don't got a hamster.
Okay. The next question is a situation.
Okay. Completely disregard my question.
Yep. We're getting a lot more comments on Instagram too. And I mean, the TikTok is still growing a bit, but all good things take time. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, one time I was walking to my friend's apartment, right? I didn't even tell them this. As soon as I walk in, I see them watching my podcast on the TV. I was like, bro, what are we doing?
That would terrify me.
We're literally going to a function and they're watching my podcast, our podcast, I should say.
Yeah, our podcast.
At the pregame, like, bro. Pre-game into my podcast. Our podcast is crazy.
That's pretty far. I'm not gonna lie. I think that'd be cool.
On my mind all night.
I haven't like heard anything in person, but I'm seeing a lot of it on social media. Like there are a lot more comments on Instagram and stuff. So that's pretty cool.
Yes, sir. And people be following me too. I'm like, whoa. I'm like, hey, your boy's getting up there now.
That's nice. Okay. Yeah. And remember to like and subscribe, guys. We appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
What's the next one?
The next one is, are situationships becoming the default because we're afraid of labels or afraid of accountability?
I think a lot of people are afraid of labels because they want to be free. Because we're all like between the ages of 18 and 20, like most of us, like Gen Z's, right? So people just want to flirk around and explore and try things and don't want to settle down.
Tied down as yet.
Yeah, find out who they are before they settle down.
Mm-hmm.
And like Miss Tinashe said, like just try to find yourself before you like start going on before you start committing to marriage and stuff like that. So,
RJ, you think you found yourself?
Oh, I'm finding it. I like what I'm seeing so far though. So, why are you laughing, bro?
just how you said it, bro.
Okay. Oh, I know I didn't record this stat, but I did see a stat about most successful marriages start when like the partners are around, like they get married around 27 to like 32. Like,
I mean, yeah, it makes sense because you'll have money and a job and
yeah,
like a foundation.
Yeah,
developed frontal lobe.
Fully developed.
No, yeah. One time
ties is fully developed too.
Nah, my mind's not developed, trust me. I'm about to tell you why. One time, I was just being dumb, and this girl was like, I wish your frontal lobe was developed.
Huh.
And just told me that. I was like, hey, man, fair play. It made me laugh.
I feel so hurt.
Nah, I wasn't hurt.
That's a creative way to call someone stupid. That's a creative one.
I mean, I'm 90% of the time, I'm like, effing around. So
yeah,
yeah,
fair enough. For me, what was the question again? I'm sorry, I had a blank mind after you said the frontal lobe thing, dude. I mean, the default, honestly, they're both, because people don't want accountability and they don't want the label on it, man. You know what I mean? It's you want to be able to do whatever you want without being withheld. Like, the going back to the multiple fruit situation we're talking about, they want the option to have all the variety instead of, like, being satisfied with, like, specific things, which I won't blame someone for, but it might affect them in the long run and mess up what they really want or value.
I like exotic fruits, you know. I like the exotic fruits. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bro likes passion fruit.
Yeah, man. How you mean?
You got it. You got anything, Megan?
Yeah. So the last question that I have is Gen Z more emotionally guarded than ever? And if so, what causes that?
I honestly think they are, because they're scared of just opening up to people, because people could do you really wrong, but they could also implement, like, also help your life. I actually was watching this movie. Instead of putting up a wall, right, put up a fence so you could see who's coming your way, instead of just blocking everyone out, you know. Ooh. Because you might be missing out on some diamonds.
That's a quote right there.
Frontal lobe and that. You feel me?
Okay. Honestly, I think people are most guarded because it's dangerous out here, bro.
Nah, for real. For real.
Honestly,
it's like a war zone.
You protect yourself, protect the people around you, protect your finances, bro. You don't want to get cooked, bro. That would be... It's bad.
I don't think it's, like, specific to our generation, but I just think a lot of people have, like, more guarded just because they've been hurt before and they don't want to, like, feel like that hurt ever again. So I think that's why people are more guarded. I don't think it's specific to, like, just our generation.
I find it's more than our generation, though. Because I find...
Well, I don't think it's specific to our generation.
Yeah, of course, like, but, like...
It's not just us that experiences that.
I feel like people back in the day weren't as, like, guarded, you know.
Yeah, because they knew them better. Because remember,
no social media. They had to send messages through pigeons and things.
Pigeons and
you know, attach a pigeon, attach a paper to the pigeon, and but yeah,
I don't think they were that old, but it's just along those lines, bro.
You got the gist. You got the gist.
Yeah, I got you. Honestly, bro. Well, we appreciate all y'all for coming out once again. None of this is possible without you guys. Thank y'all so much. And thank you once again to Miss Tadisha for coming out, spreading all her knowledge. She has a wonderful career. She was very interesting to talk to. I think I learned a lot, honestly.
All-time numbers, 86%. Yeah. Oh,
that's a crazy stat. Like 86%.
You imagine
NBA player.
Yeah.
You imagine any NBA player shot 86% across like a full season.
She gets? You know how many clients she gets, and it's 86%?
Oh my, you got...
Bro, all time. And she not even three or two, she won.
One.
She good.
Oh yeah, y'all check her out, man. Once again, thank you for coming out. Check us out on YouTube, Instagram, Spotify, TikTok, all that. And hope y'all have a great night, man. Thank you.
Later.
The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views of any affiliated organizations or entities. The content shared is for informational and entertainment purposes only and does not constitute legal, financial, medical, or any other form of professional advice.